Wilhelm is part of In-Situ, the local architecture firm that worked on the team that revitalized the Plaza Hotel, which is now open. Here to talk to us about the project is Wilhelm. Welcome to State of the Arts. So, Bill, where in the world are you?
I am currently sitting in a campground at Grand Teton National Park.
That's the beauty of this whole work from home situation, right? I mean, before you would have to be at the studio with me, but now it's like, oh, I'm at the Tetons and we're going to talk about the plaza.
Right. Yeah. Currently I'm in a home on wheels.
Amazing. How's that treating you?
It's awesome. It's our first major trip and it's going very well.
Oh, good. Okay.
So far, hit a couple of national parks.
So you're on your way to complete some more?
Yep. Got a handful more in front of us.
Nice.
We're making a big loop through the West.
Well, thank you for taking the time out to talk to me. Your background looks gorgeous.
It is. It's nice and cool.
All right. So tell us about your involvement with this project, because it's been a long time in the making and it's here and it's beautiful. And there's a lot of moving parts involved with bringing back a historic building to life like you did with the plaza. So can you give us the big story about that?
We helped put the whole team together originally and helped Paul Foster and Jordan Foster construction assemble the team of designers. And the selected architect of record is Cooper Carey Architects out of Atlanta. And they are a world-renowned hospitality specialist and very skilled at putting together amazing boutique destination hotels, which is what this was really made into in the revitalization of the hotel. We also helped identify whether it was advantageous or not for the project to go after historic tax credits, which we ultimately did, and made the project financially viable, in addition to all the local incentives from city and county.
So this isn't your first time at the rodeo in working with historic properties. What are the positives and the negatives? Because I know it's hard to take it on, but it's also got to be super rewarding when you see it done.
From day one at In-Situ, have really focused on historic revitalization and downtown and put our money where our mouth is and put our office downtown in a historic building. And it's probably the most complicated architecture to practice, but it's also the most rewarding, I think, because first of all, we're helping save for future generations these beautiful buildings and bringing them back to life. In the case of the plaza, like, a building that has sat empty for over 30 years and the people of El Paso have not been able to enjoy it. Although historically it was known as, you know, El Paso's living room. It was the place where people would meet downtown. It was just the place. And it sits on really the founding point of El Paso. So we've done a lot of this over, you know, our short life as a design firm, and it's very rewarding and enjoyable. And especially to see after, like, last week after the opening, to see the building reactivated and see people using it and enjoying it is one of the greatest rewards.
And, you know, even when it was sitting there empty, when you looked through the window, you knew it was gorgeous. I mean, you could still see, like, everything was in there and it was gorgeous. You as an architect, is that one of the projects that maybe you were, like, chomping at the bit to work on? Like, if you had your top five projects of El Paso that you want to revitalize, was that one of them?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It was from day one of my practicing in El Paso. It was probably number one of the projects that I wanted to be involved with. And so super rewarding that we can be able to do that and be involved in it.
I know you guys used a lot of local fabricators, because I would see the team from Compound, you know, they're kind of working on different woodcuts and stuff. Was that a concerted effort to work with local folks as well?
I would say most of the craftspeople involved were local. And in fact, you know, really outdid themselves, and their capabilities really shone through in the finished product. One of the ones that jumps out at me that we worked with quite a bit as a local sub is Westside Welding Fabricators. They've done a lot of work. Like, they on projects for us. They did the beautiful arches on El Paso Street for Paseo de las Luces that Edgar designed. And if you just get up close and look at those, their craftsmanship is amazing. So what really blew me away that I had not seen them do before was they helped rebuild the marquees, the canopies over the entrances from historic designs. And so you'll see all the like pressed metal copper work that's on them. They did all that fabrication locally. But then there's also like fabricators that really need to be brought in from outside for historic things. All the historic plaster work that was restored and repainted, that was done by a company named Restoric out of Chicago, who we've worked with on a couple of projects. And they do incredible historic work of all types. So they did the plaster work. There's these big paper lantern chandeliers in ambar, which yes. are original. And they took those down and they took them back to Chicago and they completely rebuilt them because they had the original paper in them. And they're paper. They're really paper. They're like printed with Native American motifs on them. But the paper was just falling to shreds on it. And the metalwork needed some work and they all needed rewired because they were 100 years old or almost 100 years old. They took and they recreated all the paper. They reprinted it, replaced it, rewired them, and restored them and put them back. And then there's also these side lanterns down the side of those in that same ambar space, which did not exist anymore. They had like lost to history. And they took and recreated those from photos and rebuilt them. And they also rebuilt, there's flat, we call them ley lights. They're leaded glass ley lights up there on that mezzanine level of ambar. And we only had two sections of those existing that were found in the hotel. The rest of them were completely gone. When the hotel was built, a lot of this stuff came out of Chicago and a lot of these places in the East and were shipped here. And so Restoric had pattern books from all the studios that were around then in Chicago. And they recreated those ley lights from their own expertise and knowledge and pattern books and recreated wow. the designs and then rebuilt the leaded glass completely. And so two of the end panels of one of the four main ley lights are original and they rebuild them. And then the rest of the glass is completely rebuilt from scratch. And then another thing that they rebuilt from scratch, which was really amazing, was in the ballroom, the original chandeliers were missing. And it was another leaded glass thing. But when you go to the ballroom, there are these multi-layered clear and frosted chandelier that's all leaded, and they rebuilt those only from photographs and then knowing the studios that they came out of and the work of those studios.
That's mind-blowing. So like you come in, the building's been sitting there empty forever. Where do you start? At what point are you like, okay, this is what we need to bring back the hotel rooms? But then there's all these details that you're talking about. How do you turn that into a project? I mean, you obviously did, but it's got to be overwhelming at the same time, no?
Yeah, well, the first thing actually with these projects, and it really takes an experienced owner to be able to work through it successfully. When you don't have an experienced owner, you run into problems because they will want to run one of these projects like you would, you know, new construction, which you can't.
It's not the same. Because, right.
So the first thing you have to do is you have to see what you're dealing with. You, first of all of these buildings, the plaza included, had layers and layers of construction from the original construction and then renovations. And during the course of successive renovations over the history of a project like that, you lose some historic fabric because it's not valued, you know, in those earlier renovations. It gets destroyed or gets covered up. So the first thing you have to do is peel back all the layers to get to the original and decide then by looking at what's left of the original, what can be salvaged and what can be restored or what needs to be rebuilt or not rebuilt. When it's a tax credit project, all of that then becomes a dialogue with Texas Historic Commission so that it's supported by the tax credit applications. You're never really required to rebuild something, or technically it's called reconstruction, mm-hmm. of something that's no longer there. But sometimes it's appropriate to do that. And other times it doesn't matter. And you might replace it with something contemporary that would contrast with the historic. And so that's what you see in Ambar and the ballroom. You know, the project actually started when Foster started cleaning up the building and peeling back those layers of construction, which happened several years before they decided and committed to doing it as a hotel. And even before they committed to doing it as a historic tax credit project. So we helped them at that point decide what's historic fabric that's not too far gone and should be restored. And so all of those ceilings in there were uncovered, and we said, you know, just hold those.
They're gorgeous.
And then we'll deal with it later, and we'll figure out how to work it into the design later, which is exactly what happened with Cooper Carey and Johnson Studio. And Johnson Studio came up with the idea of that 2.5-story tequila bar, which fits into this sort of step pyramid shape, or inverted step pyramid shape, that's in the original, you know, design of that room. And some of that had to be recreated, and some of it was there. And then when you're adding layers of new construction that's contemporary, you know, by Park Service guidelines, National Park Service, which is ultimately who governs the tax credits and has to approve, their look on it is that everything that's contemporary should be, I'm quoting, of its place and time, is what they say, so that when somebody goes into the hotel now, they can say, oh, that's new and this is historic, so that the two are not confused. And so that's where it gets really tricky on, like, how much of it do you reconstruct or not reconstruct. So you try to really limit what you're reconstructing, but in a way that it blends well.
So, like, those lead glass panels that you described, to somebody like us with me and my laywoman's eyes, am I able to tell which ones are the originals that are in there and which ones are the ones that were just manufactured? Or is that something that you know?
You're not going to be able to. And that's where the line gets blurry. And that's really where you have to, like, make some critical decisions and have that dialogue with Texas Historic Commission about, you know, what should be done or should not be done. There's also some other areas, like in the transoms of windows on the ground floor, there's what we call prismatic glass, and they're little 4x4 squares. And so maybe half of that glass was gone and the other half had to be restored. There's one company that does it, and they came in and they harvested all the good glass and they took it back and they cleaned it up and then they manufactured new. And then they mix it 50-50 across the whole reinstallation of it so that it's a blend of old and new.
It's amazing. Well, I mean, it's beautiful. It's got to feel good that it's finally open. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. So amazing. It's a long time coming. And then getting up to the finish line and the pandemic hits and everybody's, like, you know, throws up their hands. So, like, well, they had already had their, like, hiring fair and they were gearing up to start training staff. And then that happened. And they're like, well, we're going to have to delay this indefinitely. We don't know when we're going to be able to open it. But it's a strange parallel, similar to how Conrad Hilton originally opened the hotel, you know, in the middle of the Great Depression.
Oh, right. The Great Depression.
He announced the hotel 19 days before the stock market crashed in 1929, and then, like, forged through construction. And we found in the process of all this evidence of, like, they greatly value engineered several things in the hotel.
It was a Great Depression.
Get it done. And, and Conrad talks about that in his autobiography, essentially saying he was grasping at straws to get the hotel done. And then got it done and got it open. And then proceeded over the course of the Great Depression to lose his entire chain of hotels. And then had to rebuild it. But that's another, like, really interesting thing about what was the El Paso Hilton and now known as the Plaza, is it was responsible for him being able to rebuild his chain of hotels. He lost everything, but he and five other El Pasoans were able to buy back the hotel at a foreclosure for like $30,000 after spending $1.75 million to build it in the Great Depression. And then he went on to rebuild his chain from there. The hotel actually served through the 40s as the corporate headquarters for the Hilton chain, and for a while moved over into the Mills building before ultimately getting moved to Chicago.
It's a new beginning, right? It was a new beginning then, and it's definitely a new beginning now. And we just got to power through this. And I mean, even now it's open and people are being safe about attending and going to see it and spending some nights. So like, yeah, you can't plan for these things. And you did a beautiful job, and the pandemic will be over soon, hopefully.
Yes.
And we can move on and have a beautiful time at the Plaza.
We can all enjoy La Perla Lounge at the top overlooking the city.
That's right. Cannot wait. Today, my guest has been architect Bill Helm, who was part of the team that brought back the Plaza Hotel to its beautiful glory. Thank you for coming to State of the Arts.
Thank you, Marina.